Hi everyone, and welcome to our first episode. I would like to thank everyone for the followers and support last week. It truly means a lot to me and I appreciate it so much. I really hope you guys enjoy these episodes. I'm going to start today's episode with a little backstory on our author. A Murmur of Bees is written by Sofia Segovia. Born in Monterrey, Mexico, she attended college at Monterrey University studying communications. She also worked as a creative writing teacher, wrote for local campaigns, as well as being a playwright and author. This book was translated into English by Simone Bruni. So, to set the scene for you guys, it is an October morning in the 1900s. Local villagers are just going about their day, doing their daily tasks, and unbeknownst to them, a baby is wailing and crying in the brush. However, no one can hear it. Except for Nana Reja, who somehow ends up finding the baby, deformed and strange-looking. However, it is also protected by a layer of bees. So my first thought is, how is this baby not dead yet? I mean, it's a newborn, it's covered in bees, it's out in the brush, there's animals, the weather, everything combined. I don't know how this baby made it. However, Nana Reja came in like a badass and was like, let me take that child. So I guess you guys are probably wondering just who Nana Reja is. Well, she is an elderly woman that lives in her rocking chair. This woman literally lives in her rocking chair day and night, winter, summer, doesn't matter. She lives there. So much so that the villagers look at her and think that she is a part of the rocking chair. They don't even distinguish her anymore. That is who Nana Reja is. She prefers not to be bothered, and for good reason. Quote, as she aged, she reckoned with the things her eyes had seen, her ears had heard, her mouth spoken, her skin felt, and her heart suffered. She had been through enough to make anyone weary. And on that, I say to her, sit in that rocking chair and rock those blues away. She lived with the Morales family. We'll know more about them soon. But of that family, she only tolerated very few people. Well, actually, two. She only tolerated two people. Pola, the housemaid that brought her food. She never ate it, but Pola's dedicated and she brought it anyways. And Francisco Morales. And that's it. Those are the only two she tolerated. I think I'm starting to see myself in her, and to be honest, I'm getting a little worried. She didn't remember much from her childhood or her past. The only thing she truly remembered was the man that left her in her tent, pregnant and alone, away from all of civilization. We don't know much about her pregnancy, but we do know that she had a healthy birth. However, her baby had ended up getting sick and had stopped crying and stopped eating. So, like the good mama she is, she trotted down that hill into the village to seek help, figure out what was wrong with her child. And after that, we take a little break from Nana Reja and meet some new characters. We are then introduced to Dr. Doria, a local doctor to the village. He leaves his house when he gets a concerned call from Senior Morales that his wife has spiked a fever after giving birth to their child. Now he and Nana Reja do meet later, but unfortunately they do not fall in love. Now I know, like me, you guys are all upset about this too. But trust me, this dude is not a good dude. He walks into Senior Morales' house, sees his wife laying there. She's sick, she's inflamed, she's just not having a good time. And he walks over to her, asks her husband if he can examine her, because it's the 1900s and women don't own their bodies. So he examines her, finds out that she has mastitis, and he's like, well, yeah, that's it. You have mastitis. I don't know. There's nothing I can do for you. And I don't even know how this woman does not flip out, because if I had mastitis and this doctor looked at me and was like, I can't do anything for you, I'd wig out. However, it is the 1900s and medical innovation is not that great. So I can't really blame him, but he's definitely on the shit list. Also, there will definitely be a shit list on this podcast. Congrats, Dr. Doria. You just made the list. And so because she has mastitis, she hasn't been able to feed her baby for 12 hours. And without the doctor's help, the mother and baby start to fail. He realizes that he can't do anything, so he leaves and heads back home. On his way home, he sees Nana Reja sitting on the bench, freezing, holding her child. He goes up to her and invites her into his house. He examines her, examines the baby, sees that the baby is blue. He tries to resuscitate it, but he cannot get the baby to breathe again. Tells Nana Reja that the baby has died. And then he gives her some comfortable clothes, examines her further, and takes her back outside. Now, they walk back outside and she's like, cool, going back to the bench. But instead of walking her to the bench, he turns her to the corner and they walk down to Senor Morales' house. He walks in and she sits there. She is so overcome, you know, with grief and sadness, obviously. And she just wails. She just wants to be alone. She hates being in some stranger's house. She doesn't know what she's doing there. And she just feels alone. Feels very sad. And I don't blame her absolutely one bit. However, she does hear a baby crying, and she gets very confused at first because, you know, the doctor told her that her baby was dead, had passed away. She hears this baby. She's sad. She doesn't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, a baby is placed into her hands. And she knows this is not her baby. She had just been told that her baby is dead, and she is very confused on what's happening. However, Dr. Doria looks at her and says, you know, this baby needs food. This baby hasn't eaten in hours. You can help this baby. And Nana Reja is overcome with emotion and motherly instinct, and she looks at this baby and she starts to breastfeed this baby. Senor Morales had fallen asleep, and when he wakes up, his wife and child are both silent, which is very weird, seeming as though a lot was happening before he fell asleep. So he wakes up, goes into the kitchen, and sees that Nana Reja is feeding his child. He's very confused at first, but I think he's happy that, you know, his child is being fed, looks very healthy, looks content, and, you know, is happy that something is being done for his child. So he talks with Dr. Doria, and Dr. Doria unfortunately tells him that while he was asleep, his wife has passed away. Obviously very, very upset, very grief-stricken. And all we know from there on is that she breastfeeds this child until he is 6 years old. This baby's name is Guillermo. After Guillermo turns 6 years old, Sam Morales' wife and her sisters look at this baby, 6 years old, still being breastfed, and is like, what is going on? Because to our society, that is a very, very strange concept. You know, women usually breastfeed until the baby is about 1 year old or is eating solid foods. However, as with every single person, everything is different for every single individualized person. So you do what works best for you and your baby. But they see this and they send Guillermo away to be weaned and to go to school. And so Nana Reja is sitting there like, well, what do I do now? I just breastfed this baby for 6 years and I don't know what to do. So the maids that also work at St. Morales' home look at her and say, well, there are other babies that need breastfed. And so these maids start sending babies in to be breastfed. And over time, she feeds 21 babies. 21 babies! That's so many. I mean, oh my gosh, that's just a lot. I don't know if I could breastfeed 21 babies myself. So this woman is awesome. In my opinion. If this was me needing to breastfeed 21 babies, I would be like, give me a plate of pasta for each baby. I want 21 plates of pasta for each baby. Because if you don't know, it takes so many calories to even produce enough milk to breastfeed a child. And 21 babies, she's carbo-loading every day. Forget the gym. She's carbo-loading to feed these children. So, I mean, go her. She deserves all the toast, all the pasta, all the bread she wants. And eventually Guillermo does come back. He has bought a house in a different town, and after Senor Morales dies, he inherits Nana Reja. So they go to his house. Nana Reja breastfeeds his children as well. He feels weird about it. He's like, oh, I don't know, like, this is weird. But his wife steps in and she's like, no, like, she is breastfeeding our children, deal with it, I don't care about your opinion. So she continues to breastfeed his children. And then, over time, Guillermo dies, and Nana Reja is then given to Francisco, Guillermo's only son. And that brings us back to current day. So she is living on Senior Morales' estate. She is also retired. She cannot breastfeed anymore, and she is just living out her days in retirement. And honestly, I think she deserves it. Paula, the one of two people she likes in the Morales family, wakes up, does her daily stuff, makes coffee, and gathers money to go down to the local market to buy bread. On her way down and back, she usually does see Nana Reja sitting in her rocking chair every day. However, upon her arrival, she sees that Nana Reja is missing. She is not sitting in her rocking chair, and if she's not sitting in her rocking chair, then where the hell is she? So she goes around and she's like, guys, where is she? Where is she? Like, she sets off all these alarms, and they cannot find her. And that is the end of chapter one. Now, these chapters are very, very short, so I'm probably going to do more than just one chapter for each episode. That's probably not going to always be like that. It depends on the book, really. So next episode, I'll probably do chapters 2 and 3. However, I still have a lot of questions that chapter one has brought to my attention. The first question I want to go over is, where is Nana Reja? Now, for a woman that spends all her time in a rocking chair, I really do not think she was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for a 5K, just going to work out these limbs, just going to get the blood flowing. I really highly doubt that is what happens. I would like to think that she goes out and this is when she finds the child. That is my number one guess. I am going to have to read more to find out. But for right now, I think that I'm sticking with that theory. She went out, she found the child, they will eventually find her with the child. But who knows? I mean, maybe she did go for a run. Maybe she went down to the farmer's market. Maybe she decided to hit up Dr. Doria. I hope not. If that dude can't help mastitis, then he is no good for her. But who knows? Who knows? That's what I'm going with for the theory. And next episode, I hope we will find out. Now, another question that I wanted to talk about is, how does she find the baby that is crying when no one else can hear it? I'm starting to think that she was chosen for this, you know? Like, she saves all these children, you know, maybe this one is the ultimate one that she saves. That's kind of the theory I'm working with on that one. I mean, she's done so much. I think this baby especially needs help, and I think she's the only one that can help it. Definitely think she is going to be the heroine of our story. Either she is, or the child is. Or maybe both. I like both. But for right now, I think she is definitely a key heroine in the story. So, that's all I have for chapter one. Join in for the next episode to see where Nana Reja turns up. Thank you, guys.